Welcome once again to the messages of Christ the Cornerstone Anglican Church.
Tomorrow, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on.
In this episode, Pastor Andrew unpacks fasting and how it's one of the ways we can come closer to God and find our Saviour to lean on during difficult times.
It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
So let me ask a rhetorical question. Is fasting a regular thing you do as a spiritual discipline? Is fasting something that you do strenuously to get in touch with God? Is fasting something that you do seriously to get God's attention? Fasting is really hard for most of us at the best of times. However, when we get the purpose of the fast wrong, then it seriously becomes a wasted effort. Imagine fasting for 40 days and God's just taking no notice at all. Wouldn't that just tick you off? God, don't you know I'm fasting here and you don't seem to be paying attention? So when we come to the most profound chapter in the whole of the Bible on fasting, on Isaiah 58, that is actually the situation. The people who in their hearts are seriously far from God are fasting like it's going out of style, demanding that God hear them, attend to business, and help them out, and get them out of a tough situation, and he just wasn't coming to the party. That's what the opening verses of Isaiah 58 are actually describing. It's what instigates that statement. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? So what was wrong with the fasting they were doing? We need to know that fasting is not about getting God's attention, getting God to do what we want him to do, getting God on our side, getting God to change the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Convincing God about what we need him to do. It's not about beating ourselves up, nor abasing ourselves in sackcloth and ashes. That's what God says to the people about their fast, when in the midst of their fast, they continue to oppress and treat others really badly. So God says and unpacks for them what his fast is really about. Isaiah 58 is quite a tough chapter. So what is fasting about? It's about our hearing God and his purpose. It's about moving to act on behalf of others, to loose the bonds of wickedness that bind them, to undo the heavy burdens that weigh them down, to help the oppressed go free, to share food with the hungry, to bring into your house the poor who've been cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover them, and do not hide yourself from your own family and friends. But as you move through this chapter 58, there's now a break between what I've just read and the next section, and all of a sudden we come back and it's almost like a reiteration of what we've just said, but it's actually more pointed and it is actually dealing with us in our own context and our own situation. If you read the papers, watch the news, you know that there are horrendous problems across the planet, and problems that neither you or I can anyway do anything to resolve, except pray for those caught in the middle of it or those trying to deal with it. So in one sense, you could say there are problems in Israel, there's problems in Egypt, there's problems in America. What can we do about that? And so it tends to be distant from us. And that's why God picks up this thought in your own midst, in your own situation, in your own context. These are the things to look at. If we take away the yoke from our midst, now what is the yoke? The yoke in the Bible talks about the yoke that oxen wear, which is sort of like a thing on their shoulders, that it's controlled by ropes, that actually directs how they move, where they move, when they move, and is situated in such a way that it actually is not a burden on the ox. And Jesus describes the sense of a yoke that is a burden is one that weighs the person down. And it can even be a set of rules or expectations. You ever been in that situation, you can never do anything right. And if that's the situation, you're under a yoke. We're to take away the yoke from our midst. We're to stop pointing the finger. Stop blaming people. We've come out of a culture of blame that has moved into, in many senses, a new direction, especially in business. In the old days, if you blew a job, you were fired, you're out. These days, we actually turn problems into training. We don't work on who's to blame, but how do we solve the problem? There's a story of a manager in a corporation. He was third-level manager, and he just blew a $1 million deal. He wrote out his resignation. He walked into the office of Manager 2, put it on his desk, and Manager 2 says, "Well, what's that?" He says, "That's my resignation." He says, "You're not resigning. We just paid $1 million for you to learn a lesson, so we need to get that back by you learning that lesson and getting on with business." Isn't that an awesome response? So mistakes are not a blame thing. Mistakes or failures are learning points. It gets critical if you won't learn. That's a different ingredient altogether. One of the thoughts that I raised here, do I find myself in situations where the gossip is getting quite negative? And how do I deal with it? Especially if someone's been demeaned, put down, ridiculed, or attacked when they have no opportunity of defense. What do I do with those situations? Now, I'm not going to answer that question, but it is important that we reflect with God when we get into situations like that. How do we deal with it? How do we turn what is quite a negative frame into a positive, uplifting frame? And sometimes that might mean you have to defend the person even if they're not there. If we extend our souls to the hungry, and if we satisfy the afflicted soul, that we actually care about people. So what are the results of fasting? Our light shall dawn in the darkness. Sometimes we go through situations where everything seems to be falling apart, no answer to the problem, be no way through. And it's in this sense that we're actually in darkness. And what God is saying here is, when you get this right, my light will break into your darkness. God's answers will come to the situations. We shall receive our healing. We will grow in righteousness. God's glory will be with us. When we call, God will answer. God will guide us continually. God will satisfy our souls in meager times and strengthen us. Crisis. There is a provision of God for those who he favors, who are righteous before him. In the hard times, he will bring provision to those who honor him. We shall be like a watered garden or a spring of water, and we will rebuild the ancient ruins, the old waste places. We will raise up the foundations of many generations. So the question is, how do we personalize fasting for ourselves? So here are some reflection questions. Is God asking me to do more to heal God's people? Poor, the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the bound, those grieving, and the faint-hearted? Are there people whom I have hurt that I've not taken the effort to seek forgiveness and rectify the hurt? Have I held back doing something that just might bring some sort of relief to people in those conditions? Have I been too self-reliant, depending on my own strength and wisdom and not on God's? And you know, it is so easy in the work of God to move into that frame, just out of the immensity of the work sometimes and its challenge. Have I sufficiently given God the glory or taken some of it for myself? To become oaks of righteousness. Before I go into this, I want to say that last night I was struggling with some thoughts and ideas now. And God said to me, I want you to lean now on me, right now, about all these things. I started to do what he said in whatever way I could. And then some of the tension released, and this is what he said. He said, I'm bringing righteousness to my church, not you. God is working in us his righteousness. God is bringing the righteousness. That's his commitment. And he asks us to join with him in bringing our church into that realm of growing in righteousness to please the Lord. So he's called us to become oaks of righteousness, to be trees planted and nourished by God who produce a wholesome righteousness and holiness. So here's some questions. Am I developing and deepening my earthy righteousness through my relationship with God through Jesus Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit? None of us are yet perfect. If I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, then we're all in this together. Psalm 12 verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure. Then it goes on and says, seven times pure. The word of God is pure. Now, however we might see that, see what the word is or what is the word of God for us and how it comes, we all have different views than that. But we all should begin to focus and say, okay, the word that he's given me is pure. Right? It actually has an impact that brings that purity into my life as I hear it and as I adopt it. So have I sought and for and found a word of God that empowers that area for me? Now, is my righteousness flexible to others? Or does it come with some level of judgment or rejection? So we've just acknowledged that not many of us are really perfect yet. So those judgments we make, and you know, we make them, we do it, and we don't know often that we're doing it. And we need to see that they have one judge, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. They have a judge, his name's Jesus Christ. So our righteousness needs to be holy, but flexible, filled with mercy and love for the failings of others, their imperfections, their troubles, and even sometimes the abuse that they give us. We need to rebuild, raise up, repair the church of God, the ancient ruins. So what is God asking me to do to assist in that rebuilding? What training do I need to be more effective in that work? Am I giving time to God to honor him and learn from him? And am I seeking God's direction in giving to his work and finding additional resources for that work? Now, when it comes to the question of honoring him, giving time, if you read the Isaiah passage, you'll see right there at the end, God's talking about, will you honor my Sabbath? And yet the Sabbath for us in our culture and with the incredible multiple demands on us is not always something easy to keep as a specific day. So I've translated that in as I'm making sure that I'm giving him time and that when I'm doing that, I'm honoring him and I'm learning from him. But we do need to make sure that we give God the time that is due him in whatever way that we can do that and by whatever means. As we come to God, His incredible power through Jesus is going to come to our aid and enable Him to transform our lives in ways we never thought could happen before. This is God's agenda. It's His time. We're in His hour, and He is calling us as a people to attend to Him. Let's pray. Father, you know how difficult fasting is for most of us. Father, you know that we struggle with this thought, but we struggle with prayer too. Help us, Lord, to take a hold of what you're asking, to clarify what you're calling us to do, to be serious in our application of it, to just grow in ways that we haven't been able to do before, but we just recognize that you're in the house and you're in our house and you're there to help. Strengthen us and multiply us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.